It's The Record on KUOW. Ross Reynolds in for Bill Radke. Here's what Pete Carroll had to say yesterday.
Well, that was a, I'm going to say it this way, a tremendous showing by the Rams.
Yeah, you could say that. Seahawks coach Pete Carroll, the Rams beat the Seahawks 42-7 at home yesterday, just to tell us how bad that game was and what it might mean for the future. Michael Sean Dugar. Michael Sean, thanks for being with us.
Yeah, no problem at all.
And you can read him at the Seattle PI. So just bottom line, are the Seahawks completely out of the playoffs?
Mathematically, no. I mean, there's you know, so you're saying there's a chance. Yes. Yes, I am. There is a chance. The simple way, actually, I was crunching some numbers last night. If the Seahawks win the rest of their games and the Rams just somehow forget what good football looks like, and they lose the rest of their games, Seahawks actually win the division in that scenario and host a playoff game. If my math is right, I'm pretty sure it is. I wasn't good in high school in math, but in college I was. So I'm pretty sure that's right. That means both teams would finish 10-6, and I think the Seahawks would win a tiebreaker in that scenario because they'd be 5-1 in division and the Rams would be 4-2. So yeah.
That would be one path. There's also the wild card that could get someone into the playoffs. Do the Seahawks have any chance at that?
Yeah, that's where my math skills are a little limited. Like I tried to crunch those numbers too, and I was like, I might have to. It's like, okay, I got two hands, so I need to take off my shoes and use my. It was a lot of number crunching. The short version is, if the Seahawks win the rest of their games, they would need Detroit to lose at least one more game, Atlanta to probably lose two more games, I think. New Orleans and Carolina would also have to kind of forget what competitive football looks like and just lose the rest of their games.
Let's take it one game at a time. I guess they're playing against Dallas next. Is that here at home?
No, that's down Dallas. There in the big house. Not the big house, that's Michigan, but it's the big stadium.
And how do their chances look for that?
Not great after Sunday. I mean, it's hard, right? Because in football, you want to say this game is telling of how they'll play this game and this game. But
yeah,
we're dealing with a game that's a lot of emotions. You're dealing with human beings who aren't the same one day that they are Tuesday, and they aren't the same, you know. And we're dealing with guys who are, you know, mid-20s, upper-20s, you know, maybe even low-30s. Guys who may feel one way on Wednesday, may perform one way on Wednesday that they don't on Sunday. You just never know. But when you give up over 200 yards rushing that they gave up on Sunday, and the Dallas Cowboys get Ezekiel Elliott back, who's already kind of hinted at saying he wants to run for 200 yards in his return from suspension, and you think, oh, well, this is bad for Seattle.
I got to say, I was feeling terrible about this season right up until 2 weeks ago, and they won that great game against a team that was like 10-1, and I was feeling pretty good at that point. I could see how they could actually finish this season doing really well. Has something changed from 2 weeks ago, or is it just the Roosters are coming home to roost?
It's a little bit Seahawks were playing with like borrowed time.
Yeah.
In a way, they were getting by with Russell Wilson doing everything. There was the reserves on defense, guys playing that aren't Cam Chancellor, that aren't Richard Sherman, that aren't Cliff Averill. They were kind of getting by with them not being the reason they lose, which is a lot different than, hey, he's playing well. Some of them were, but a lot of it was, hey, you're not the reason we're losing, which is good enough if you're going to be a backup. But at that point, you know, you look at the end of the Jacksonville game last week before the Rams game. In the fourth quarter, they were trying to get off the field without Bobby Wagner, K.J. Wright, Richard Sherman, Cam Chancellor, and Cliff Averill. I just named five Pro Bowlers and maybe three Hall of Famers.
Right there, yeah.
Yeah, it's just how good do you expect, you know, the team to be?
And to compound it, Seahawks Earl Thomas and Bobby Wagner got into a Twitter argument. What was thumbed there? What happened?
Well, this is a reminder that these guys are, like I said, in their 20s. And, you know, I'm only 25, so I get it. Right, I get that, you know, you see something on your phone, someone sends you a link or texts you something, you're like, whoa, what? No. The first place you go now, you know, is your phone, is your Twitter, is your Facebook, is your Instagram. I still don't get why people post pictures of Instagram that are words. It feels like that defeats the purpose. That's exactly what Twitter is for. Sorry, but
so impulsive guys just kind of mixing it up.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta be angry to play football.
Yeah,
right. You have to be okay with guys just hitting you in the head every day, or, you know, I mean, you make millions, but still, I mean, your head hurts, you know, and everything hurts after a while. So you get a game where you get your butt kicked by five touchdowns at home. The last thing you want to say, especially if you're Bobby Wagner, who's been playing the best defense on the team, is to hear your teammates say, yeah, you know, usually you see Bobby playing well. Sunday he didn't. There's a lot of ways I haven't talked to Bobby since then. I didn't even see him in the locker room, to be honest. But, I mean, you look at it that way, Bobby's sitting there like, wait, everyone played bad and he's talking about me? just on like just instinct, you're like, wait a minute.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, I would have called him. But I mean, if you got your phone in your hand, if you watched the video of him, which probably saw the video on Twitter, just boom, phone's in hand, and then you get this, and then you get the, you get it deleted later.
Absolutely. And we got to sit and think, we were just kind of looking at the seasons, and it seems like win the Super Bowl, lose the Super Bowl closely, we're kind of ticking down every season. Is this, I mean, it's not the, that these players who've been out and been a huge role, played a huge role in the losses aren't going to come back, but what's your feeling right now? Can they come back next year? Are we on the decline? It's inevitable now for this team.
Usually there's like overreaction. Mondays are a special thing in the NFL. There's overreaction Monday, usually after like week one or two. There's Black Monday after the final regular season games where all the coaches get fired because they're the easiest to get rid of. This is Seattle's overreaction Monday, where there's a lot of, I don't know if there's a lot of, but there's enough of the, is this the end of an era talk, end of an era? And I even thought about today when I woke up, it's like, I don't think it's the end of an era, right? I think I tweeted this morning, yeah, the losses are uncharacteristic, but that's what happens when you don't have the usual characters.
Well, if you don't think it's the end of an era, I'll take that. I'm not going to think it's the end of an era either, Michael Schoen. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I mean, they still have Russell Wilson.
That's right.
That's what the era is kind of.
For now.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, will Russell bounce?
Bounce? No. It's hard to see, right? Like, Russell Wilson, if you were, he's on pace. This wouldn't be the case right now. But if he's on pace to be, like, the most beloved sports figure in, like, the history of Seattle. I mean, right now it's, what, probably Griffey?
Yeah.
Right now.
He's going to walk away from that.
Right. I mean, Russell's on pace, and I don't say this lightly, like, to pass that. Like, mm-hmm. Russell's maybe get back to the Super Bowl again, bring one here, and then there's a Russell Wilson statue, right, in front of CenturyLink. Like, I'm not even joking. He's on pace for that. To abandon that, he's really trying hard to be one of us. You know, he's advocating for, you know, get the Sonics back, get an arena. Yeah. You know, he's takes selfies with Macklemore. I mean, you know,
he's Seattle.
He's trying to be us, you know. So, I mean, I'm from Seattle, so that's why I mean us in that regard.
Yeah. Michael Schoen, you're bringing my mood up. I appreciate that. Michael Schoen Dugar, you can read him in the Seattle PI. Thanks so much for stopping by. We really appreciate it.
No problem. Anytime.